You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Really excited about, you know, ending the year. We're just, you know, just taking stock what God has done so far. And I don't know about you, but I always kind of sort of look back to what the year I kind of had. And I'm just so excited about, you know, Hans and Gwen's testimony. And Gwen's reminding me last year, you know, they've just been believing for this special gift from the Lord. And they got it this year. Amen? Amen. 12 months to the day. Amen. That the Lord really spoke to the hearts. And so I'm really excited. And I hope and pray that you're just expecting God to do great things in 2017. I'm the kind of guy that as soon as December hits, I'm already thinking about January. I'm already thinking about the next year. You know, we've got to be people that are looking forward to what God is going to do. Because God is not only just the God of the present, He's the God of our future. And in fact, He sees your life from the end to the beginning, not from the beginning to the end. The Bible tells us that in Ecclesiastes. So when God sees you, God sees a finished product. How good is that? He sees a finished product, and I just love that so much. So this morning, you know, over the course of time, I'm just going to kind of reflect a little bit on the Advent and the incarnation of Christ. But also kind of make that something that's really practical that you can take away with you, you know, to motivate you to continue to pursue God's call and God's purpose for your life. And, you know, as I was kind of sort of preparing the message this morning, one of the things that God really spoke to me was about how people need to step up to the spiritual or the prophetic promise of God. Last week, Henry spoke a great message on the from process to the promise. If you were not here last week, you know, that's a great message to get a hold of. So I'm just really, I just want to kind of echo a little bit, I guess this morning, perhaps some of the ideas that he talked about, but in a different way. I really do think that when God gives you a prophetic promise, you become responsible in stepping into that promise. It doesn't just happen because God said it. I think people might say, well, God spoke the world into order and everything came because God spoke it. But there's something different between when God speaks into your life and God speaks into nothing. The difference between things and you and me is that we have what's called a will and a choice. And God, as much as He wants the best for you and He wants to speak prophetically into your life, God never interferes with your will. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I said, it'd be better if God just interfered with my will because I know in myself I'm a little bit stupid, right? And I kind of don't get it all the time. I don't hear God all the time. Wouldn't it be better if God just intercepted every moment of your life and you kind of just, you know, walked around kind of sort of controlled by God's Spirit? How many of you would like that? You know, sometimes I prefer that because I have to think, am I hearing God? Am I not hearing God? I don't think I'm hearing God. Why didn't I do that? If I only heard God, things would be easier. Wouldn't it be like that? It's like, you know, in the Garden of Eden, it was so clear what God said to Adam and Eve. And all the way through the Word of God, even the Word of God is nothing more than God speaking to His people. God spoke to Adam and Eve so clearly, specific instructions. But here's the thing about human nature. Even if God turned up at the end of your bed at nighttime, it does not guarantee that you will obey Him. Why is that? Because our obedience is our choice. And I'm going to say to you this morning that faith and obedience are the keys to seeing the fulfillment of God's prophetic promise in your life. So we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit this morning. And I'm quite encouraged by the life of Mary when the angel Gabriel appeared to her in the book of Luke chapter 1. If you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 1 verse 26, I'm going to use this as a launch pad today, although this is not what I want to do an exposition on. But there's a few thoughts or ideas here that I want us to kind of sort of use as a basis for what we're going to be talking about this week and hopefully next week as well.
How many think that the year has gone so fast? You know, it's just gone so fast, and there's just so many things where, you know, so many transitions that you know. I love transitioning into new things all the time because I believe that God is a God of the new. There's so many things that God is wanting to do in our lives. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. I want you to stop there for a moment and just think about this and why the Bible would even bother to say that Joseph was from the house of David. The reason for that, because the prophetic Messiah that was prophesied hundreds of years prior to this point in time spoke about Jesus coming from the root of David. It's very, very important historically that we understand that prophecy has to manifest itself throughout history. And if you look at your life, there are some things that God has spoken. Let me just get a show of hands. How many of you, through your whole lifetime, a word has been spoken over your life, a prophetic promise, and you've seen it take place in your life along the way? How many of you, just a show of hands where I can see it, right? Maybe it was just something really small. You don't even know it was a prophetic promise. Maybe a prophet came and spoke it over you. Or maybe you're kind of just sort of, you know, you're sleeping in a dream and you kind of felt that God might be saying this and then you saw it happen. How many of you have experienced that? That's awesome. Many of you have experienced that because that is exactly how God builds history with us. He builds history through the fulfillment of his prophetic promise in your life. So you build this history with God, and everything, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, is about God speaking to man, speaking into your life, the things that he has for you, the future he has for you, the purpose that he has for you for today. So here, from a historical perspective, was the fulfillment of the Messiah in the house of David. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, that's to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the matter of greeting, what matter of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Somebody say favor. Say it again like you believe in favor. Amen. Someone once said to me that they're God's favorite. And someone once said that God has no favorites. How many believe which one or the other? Who believes that God has no favorites? Who believe that God has favorites? Who thinks that you're God's favorite? All right. Just like saying to all your kids, I love you all the same. Do you love all your kids the same? Do you like all your kids the same? We're not going to go there, okay? All right. But I had this thing, I was just thinking, anyway, I've got to perish that thought. And then he says, you are highly favored, you have found favor with God, and then behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign forever, reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. That means she's not married. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Amen. That's a pretty crazy story, and yet it's the very foundation of our faith. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. God became man through the virgin birth. That's the pivotal point of Christianity. Just believe that, and it all your Christian faith gets derailed. The fact that God would come to the earth and be born of a virgin. Now, when I look at that, I look at a few things. There's a reason why God picked Mary. And some of you might say because she's highly favored or she's blessed among women. And I remember when I was a young Catholic boy, we would do the rosaries, and one of the prayers in rosary, you know, was, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I still remember that. And we repeated that over and over again. And, you know, in those days, it didn't matter much because it was nothing more than religious liturgy. But coming back, you begin to realize that God saw Mary, that she was not just blessed because she was going to carry God's son, but because she was the right vessel to carry. Now, when I think about the favor of God, and I want to challenge you this morning about favor, because I'm pretty sure that at some point in your life, you have heard a message about favor. Anybody here? And you come out of that meeting feeling like God loves me. God's got favor in my life. Whatever I do will succeed. How many of you have had that feeling? Because I've had that feeling. I've gone to a meeting when a preacher talked about favor, and he told me basically, because I'm favored of God, I'm going to have everything that I'll ever want. Now, he didn't say those exact words, but the message kind of indicated that because I'm favored with God, I'm going to get every car park there is in the shopping center at Christmas time. I'm about 95% on that one. The car park anointing is very strong in me, right? And that nothing will ever go wrong in my life. And there's always this exchange in heaven that's happening, that God is saving me from every heartache and devastation and destruction because I'm favored. But as I scan through my own life and the life of so many Christians that I know, not only in our nation, but in the nations of the world and even in third world nations, I began to realize that the word favor is not the same thing the way God sees it to the way we see it. And for some reason, we think being favored with God is being successful and happy and never have problems in your relationships and having all the money that you need and all that you want and being able to do whatever you want in life because we are favored of God. And can that happen because you're favored? Absolutely. But in the life of Mary, being favored didn't mean that. God saw that she was favored because she was able to carry the prophetic promise of God. Come on, are you with me? The favor of God in your life, in my life, has little to do with the results and what we're producing in our life, but has a lot to do with what God is producing through us. In fact, it's not really a favorable thing for you as a young virgin to become pregnant while you're engaged to someone else. I don't know about you, but if God said to me, if I was a young virgin woman, not that I am, and God says to me, and I'm around about 16, 17 years old, and God says, you're going to be pregnant with the seed of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to carry this child, I'd be troubled too, like Mary was troubled. I'd be thinking, what's going on? I'm going to be stoned to death. See, the favor of God didn't mean that Mary was going to have the result that she thought was going to be convenient, comfortable, and make her life better. In fact, God's favor for her was bigger than her comfort, was bigger than her circumstance. It was about the salvation of humanity. Let me just say this to you. You think that just sounds so big, that's just too grand for me. But the reality is the favor of God in your life is not really for you. Oh, come on, somebody. I love what Hans said this morning when he talked about his healing, because it's very clear when God said, you're going to be healed. And God said, he reminded him, I am the Lord who heals you. So what God did to him, a threefold process whenever God really does something miraculous. The first thing he does, he touches your life. The second thing that he does, God reveals himself to you. The third thing that God does, he reveals his promises, not for you, but through you into the lives of people, which is what God did through Hans when God says, I'm going to use you for others. It's purpose. Amen. My purpose is not to be rich, famous, healthy, wealthy, and wise. My purpose is that so my life could be given so others would be blessed. Amen. You doing okay? So when I look at this faith in action and this favor of God and Mary's life, and as we begin to look to celebrate Christmas and all these motifs about Christmas and the birth of Jesus, I realize there's something more going on in here that God is trying to teach us. What happens when your life is not doing well Can you still call yourself favored? And can you still step up to the plate into the prophetic promise of God in your life? How many of you have had prophetic promises or words over your life and you haven't seen some of those happen yet? How many of you are still waiting or still believing for those? That's great. There's plenty of you. As I always say, you're a miracle waiting to happen. Amen. God, you're always in that place, potentially, where you can see what God has spoken into your life. But what happens when your life is in contradiction to what God said it's going to be? What happens when your life is filled with so many limitations? I don't know if in the last year God spoke something to you and the year is finishing and it's as if God is not coming through for me. It's as if that it's not happening right now and I don't know when it's going to happen. I wonder how many of you are waiting for your healing and it's still not happening. I wonder how many of you are waiting for financial breakthrough a year later, 2 years later, and it's still not happening. I wonder how many of you are waiting for restorations in relationships and it's not happening. I wonder how many of you are suffering internally with stuff that no one knows about, and still you just want God to intervene and fix the problem, and for some reason, He's just not fixing it. And yet, in the midst of my suffering, there's this demand from God, it would appear, for me to keep on loving, to keep on giving, to keep on serving, and to keep on doing things that are just beyond me. It seems that God is this taskmaster that keeps pushing me beyond my limits. How many of you can feel like that sometimes? This unreasonable boss that doesn't care about my state of mind or my health, and he just pushes me on. Is that what God really is like? Or maybe the problem is not God. It's our perspective. Or maybe the problem is the way we see things is not exactly how God sees things. Stepping up to the promise or the prophetic promise of God is filled and fraught with great challenges. If something supernaturally has been spoken over your life, it will actually take a supernatural act for that to happen in the natural. Which means that you're going to need to have supernatural faith or supernatural love. Something, you're going to have to do something outside of your natural tendencies. Because anything that you do in the flesh will always produce the things in the flesh. Are you with me? So when God spoke something supernatural to you, it's going to take more than your fleshly capability for something to be fulfilled. Turn your Bibles to me to 1 Kings chapter 17. It's one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it really speaks of what happens when we are at the end of ourselves in an extreme condition and God makes an unusual and even impractical demands in our lives. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him. Straight away, whenever the Bible says the word of the Lord, we're talking about a prophetic instruction or a prophetic promise. You with me so far? Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded, commanded, a widow there to provide for you. How many of you know that God can bless you in the most unusual places? Come on, are you with me? That God's provision for your life is not necessarily going to come from where you think it's going to come from. Come on, are you there? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, and we may eat and die. So clearly she's in a dire situation. She's got her last meal, her last supper to prepare. But it seems there's this impractical, unusual, unjust demand upon her life. I wonder if you've ever experienced that in your life when you are depleted of energy, that's when God wants you to step up to the plate. I wonder when you're depleted of any resources financially, that's when God wants you to step up onto the plate. And how many times have we tried to reason our way out of that and tried to tell God how impractical He is? See, one of the reasons I believe we don't hear God is because we hear the voice of practicality louder than the voice of the supernatural. We need to understand that God does not operate in the same economy as we do. That God does not operate in the same system as the world's system. Come on, are you hearing me? And yet we try to shove God into a practical system of the world, thinking that if God could only, be in a box and do what I want Him to do. And now you may not say this directly to God, but in essence, that's what we're doing whenever God does not suit our agenda. Whenever God's command does not suit our current practicalities or the realities that we face in life. Look at what Elijah says in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first." Somebody say first. What a horrible man of God. Seriously, shouldn't we feed the hungry first? You know, how many times, I have heard, coming to criticism, over the course of time, obviously it's not you, it's somebody else, because, it's always, we seem to see the needs of the poor and think that that is always what God wants us to deal with. I want you to don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. All right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't reach out to the poor and the needy, but I believe that the kingdom of God is greater than the needs of humanity. And that might seem a little bit callous, at this time of the year as we become more aware of the needs of people, because I really do believe that ultimately the needs of men is not food in their belly, but Jesus in their hearts. How can I say that? Because I've lived in a third world nation. I've lived among people who had nothing, but because they had Jesus, they had faith and they had hope. I don't say that to disparage people who are in need or dismiss what they're going through. I say that in us beginning to understand God's perspective is a little bit different to what we think. See, love is more than human sentiments. It's more than human empathy. Love is actually understanding heaven's priority for people. And so the man of God says, don't fear, do what you said, but first make me a small cake from it and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself. Right in there, ladies and gentlemen, is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm not advocating taking advantage of the weak or the poor in any regard. I've heard preachers preach this message and say, don't take care of your family and just believe that God's going to take care of them and just bring all your money here. And I've seen people use this for an offering message, but that's not what this message is about. It's about understanding that in the midst of the greatest needs of your life, God's kingdom must advance. Come on, are you there? That I cannot be part of fulfilling the prophetic promise of God if I'm not willing to obey at a cost. In verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil be run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Understand that there was a famine on the land. Everything was going against her mind right now. Number one, she was a widow. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out. She had nobody to support her. She had no potential income whatsoever. She's in the last morsel of food. The whole land was in famine, which means that there was no way she would have the money or any resource to be able to get more food for her and her son. She said, we're going to eat and we're going to die. This is our life. You know, it's the script has been already written for us. This is it. There's nothing left for us. But in the midst of this, God gives a promise in his prophetic call. The Bible tells us that God commanded the widow. Can you imagine God commanding you to do something when you don't have the ability to do it? But I believe that's what sets us apart as Christians. That's what sets somebody apart when it comes to faith, is being able to do something greater. I think it was John Haggai who says, you know, dream something so big that it's going to take God to do it for it to happen. That the dream is so big that you will fail if you did it without God. And that's the kind of God that we serve, folks. In verse 15, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. Look at verse 16. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. I want you to see something that underscores this whole thing. It starts with the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and then it went to God saying, I've commanded a widow. Then Elijah giving a word to the widow to do something. Then Elijah giving a word of promise to her. And then it ended with this thing, and the according to the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Hearing God for your life and your family, I believe, is vital to Christian victory. And there may be days that you won't hear God, and I get that. But so how do we kind of step into that prophetic promise of God? How do we do that? How do we go from just believing into living his promises? Well, in this story, I want to just give you a few things, just a few foundational stuff that you can go away with. Here's the first thing I want to tell you. God will always provide for his work and his workers. Come on, are you there? God will always provide for his work and his workers. So if you are serving Jesus in whatever you're doing, God will always provide. Corinthians tells us that he gives seed to the sower. Amen? He will give the seed. He will always provide. Why is that? Because God's promises are enshrined in his commandment. So even if it doesn't make sense, our posture has to be, we have to trust and obey God because he is the one who provides the promise. Lose the idea that God is able to provide, and it begins to rock your faith. You're going to start to look at what's practical, and you're going to rationalize what God is saying rather than saying this is something that requires faith. Amen? I heard a preacher, I think Josh Chacko, said this. You know, the problem with a lot of churches today is that they believing for the provision through the offerings. But God can provide greater than the offerings itself. I'm not saying it's not the giving. There's always giving that's happening. But he's referring to the Sunday offerings when people come together. And that is so true. You know, as a church, we always believe that, you know, as you give to the church, God provides through your giving. And out of that, we're able to keep running the church. We're able to preach the gospel. We're able to reach our community with the word of God. And we're able to reach more people around the world with the word of God through your giving. That's why your giving is so important. But God is even able to do greater than your giving. Come on, somebody. God is able to do more than my giving. And I look at my giving this morning as I wrote that on the envelope. I'm thinking to myself, this is really so small when you compare to the needs of the church this week. And this time of the year, this is so small. How are we going to kind of sort of fulfill the budget? Not that I kind of sort of lay awake at night thinking about the budget of the church, because I've come to understand that God is the provider. Amen. He's the one. Either he's called us all together, right, to be a church community, or he hasn't. And if he has, if he called us to this ministry, he will provide. Amen. Amen. And in the command of God is enshrined within it his promises. Please don't go running around thinking what's God's promising me, but think about what it more so. What is God telling me to do? Because if you can capture that, you'll find yourself walking into the promises of God. Amen? God is able. Hallelujah. And number two, obedience always has a high price. And obedience does not require the ideal situation in your life to take place. If you can only obey when things are doing well, then we're no different to somebody who lacks faith. Obedience that requires faith will obey regardless of situation. Turn with me again to 1 Kings. Look what happens when Elijah said to her, "Get me a drink." And for her, that's nothing. He's not touching something that's really important to me. So as she was going to get him a drink, right, as she obeyed the man of God to go get a drink, he ups the ante and says, no, I don't want just a drink. How many of you have obeyed God into something and thinking, I think I've gotten myself too deep into this thing? Right? Are you there? I only said yes because, you know, I just wanted to meet the pastor, you know? Right? I just, you know, there was a guy that was, you know, we used to run evangelistic concerts and all that stuff. And young people would often want to come forward to just meet the artists. And they give their life to Jesus because they want to meet the artists, or they want to meet whoever it was that's, you know, that's kind of sort of delivering the gospel. You know, for, you know, different people have different motives as to why they come to Christ or said yes to something. And people have said yes to the ministry over the years. And I've worked with people in the ministry and they said, yes, I want to serve Jesus. And then the ministry got hard. And they say, I don't think I signed up for the hard times. I signed up to preach. I signed up for people to know me. I signed up for people to kind of sort of, you know, see me as a leader. I may have signed up so that our people can get to, I can become popular. No, they never say those words. But you know, maybe we want to be more significant. So we say yes to serving God in some sort of way, and we become significant until hard times happen. And we say, hang on a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this spiritual burden that I'm experiencing right now. I really do believe that regardless of our circumstance, we've got to learn to overcome fear, because fear will always stop us from obeying God, especially when things are hard. See, without obedience, the prophetic promise of God will never come to pass in our lives. What she had to do was she had to look beyond her needs and her circumstance and remember the word of the Lord. Elijah reminds her this way: God will provide for you. Just obey what God said. And the reality is, you really have nothing to lose. She had nothing to lose. She'll either die tomorrow or die today, really. And oftentimes, that's the problem that puts us in a place of fear, because we want to hold on to the smallest thing that we can because of our fears. our the smallest amount of energy we got left, the smallest amount of money we got left, the smallest amount of space we have left for ourselves. But from my understanding of the Word of God, it's meant to be that we die to ourselves and live for Christ. Isn't it? We had a really bad run the last couple of months, you know. Can I tell you a really sob story of your pastor? Is that okay? All right, please. I'm not crying victim or expect you to do anything. You know, we just had a bad run, didn't we, Amanda? Can I share that? You feel a bit embarrassed? That's okay. All right. We just had a bad run. So I had two speeding tickets 2 months ago doing the work of the Lord. I wasn't going that fast. It's not like I'm going 20 above. I was probably only a few kilometers, but you know, it's money we didn't have, and it was really tough, right? And two, my goodness, I said, Lord, you know, and I didn't even dare to say, God, why is the devil doing this to me? Because it wasn't the devil driving that day. And then, just a bunch of stuff. Then my water pump in my ute blew up, you know, and I was stuck and I had to get a new water pump in there. Thank God for Hubert. He helped me out and fixed that water pump. And he says, I love Hubert. He goes, no problem, Pastor. Whatever it is, we can fix it. A man of faith like that around you. Isn't that good? And so we fixed that. I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's fixed. And then, my wife had an incident and, you know, the backed into a pole with her car. And then we had another accident and another car backed into the front of her car. And that's all damaged. And then my ute had another accident. I wasn't driving, by the way. Had another accident last week and hit another car, and that cost a lot of money. And then yesterday I lent my car, because I lend cars to people. If I don't have to use them, people borrow, I just lend them to whoever. My wife says, why do you keep lending cars? It's because we have them. And then the car was stuck yesterday in Logan City, and you know, it sounds like the transmission's gone on one of my cars. And then I have this other problem with my youth. The engine light came on, and I'm doing really well. Someone said to me this morning, I shouldn't complain about my life. You know, I think about that, and I think about God's favor. Is that, am I still favored by God with all these things happening? And oftentimes I'd say, what have I done wrong? And I began to search my heart before the Lord, and the Lord just kind of spoke something in my life. It said to me, what's your confession like in the last month? It wasn't because of your bad confession, all these things are happening to you. No, that's not what the Lord said to me. And the Lord just kind of sort of gently began to speak to me about my confession. And I realized that there were certain times when I was speaking some negative things. And again, I'm not kind of sort of giving you some kind of mystical formula here. I think the reality, my wife really clarified with me yesterday when I said to my, I'm just trying to kind of sort of make all this sense. I said, honey, you know, it's really not too bad. We'll get through this and all that stuff. And I think God is saying this to me, and we don't want to kind of sort of reconcile that by saying, well, because we did this, God made this happen. Or because you did this, Satan had an opportunity to, in your life, right? You've heard that teaching before, right? Is there any truth to that? I think there are some truth to that, but it's not always the case. Are you with me? Because bad things happen to good people, folks. Just look at the life of the disciples. They didn't have a good run. And then God began to speak to me. He said, favor has little to do with how good your life is in the temporal. It has to do whether or not God could still trust you with His call and His purpose when things go wrong. Whether your attitude can remain in a place of commitment to Him. Whether your attitude can remain in a place of love and blessing. And in that moment, I began to kind of seek after the Lord. I said, God, what have I said about people? What have I said about other things? And God began to speak to me. And God said to me, I want you to call this person. And I want you to just encourage that person. I want you to tell them how much you love them. And I want you to just say to them just great things that you haven't said, that you're supposed to have said to them. And I called. And as soon as I called that person, they hung up on me. Well, they were busy. They said, I'll call you later. But the problem is I was really ready to give so much love at that point in time when they just said, I said, I don't know if I can do this. I had a window. And a window is very narrow, you know. Then they called me up and I said, hey, I said, my friend, I'm going to speak blessing over you. I just want to tell you that I love you, and I just want God to just give you the best. That's all I'm calling for. I'm not calling for anything else. And in that moment, I just felt something lift for me. My car's still broken. Cars still need fixing. We still need to have bumps everywhere. And my wife said something. And she said, if all these circumstances led you to correct something in you, then that's what matters the most. And I'm thinking, I'm just too stubborn not to get it the first time. So maybe that's what. You see, the favor of God is this, is that God has an access into your life. The favor upon Mary's life is that God could access her life and fill her with a prophetic promise that was not just for her, but for the whole of humanity, past, present, future. That is God's favor. That He chose you and He could use you and that He could fulfill His kingdom through you. That is the favor of God. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of what's going on. Comparison is not something that we ought to do much as Christians. It's not a really good motivator. It makes us do things that we shouldn't do. Competitiveness and comparison. You know, you compare yourself to the Joneses. It's not good for your spirit. But sometimes it can be good. When it comes to understanding perspective, if I compared myself to somebody else in a third world nation who probably don't even know the idea of Christmas shopping, who are just happy at Christmas time to have a meal on their table, and here I am with my first world problems, thinking about what car I'm going to drive, my cars that are broken down, when my brethren are walking with no shoes for hours just to get to church this day. Comparison is not always a good thing, but it can be to motivate us and give us the right perspective of what God really wants to do for us and through us. Amen. This Christmas, God wants to remind you, you are a blessing to people. Be a blessing to one another. Be a blessing to your family. You might say, I don't have enough. Give from everything that you've got. And God promises that the bin of flour will never run out. That's the bread of life, folks. And the oil will never run out of the jar. That's the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. God will never run out in your life. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, open our hearts. Open our hearts to be givers. Even to the point that we have nothing, Lord. To people that would be willing to step up into the prophetic promise of God. not only for our lives. How many of you want the favor of God in your life in context of what we talked about today? Stand up to your feet. That means you are a vessel of His purpose and promise for His kingdom. Amen? Father, I just speak your favor upon each and everyone this day. I declare that over the work of our hands, over the words of our mouth, every deed and every action will produce fruit in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.